you'll open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Hebrews, we're going to begin reading in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, and then we're going to read through chapter 6, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, where we begin, and then going through the third verse of chapter 6. Remember that the writer of Hebrews has been talking about Jesus as our high priest, and he's told us that he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he has discussed that somewhat, and he'll get into that more later on in the book. But then he says, of whom, talking about the Lord Jesus, we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. I don't think there's anything more precious than a newborn baby. There's just something that's special about that baby as you get to hold that little baby in your hands, and then as they begin to grow and mature physically, it's a joy watching them grow. I was thinking about Lizzie this morning, and I've seen her when she was just a baby, and now I've had the privilege of baptizing her, and what a joy that is to my heart to do that, and watching a child grow from that infancy into a young child, a young boy or girl. And then some of you I've seen almost grow up from infancy to teenage years. And it's such a joy to see those children start growing by leaps and bounds. And it's fun to watch a child as they move from the baby stage into the toddler stage, and they start crawling around, they get the power to sit up and crawl around a little bit, and then they start standing up every once in a while, and they'll fall down, they'll stand up and fall down, and then to watch them take that first step is just amazing, because it's trouble all after that. Amen. But what a joy it is. And then to hear them as they grow and develop mentally, they begin to make sounds. And then they begin to form words. And one of the sweetest words that comes out of their mouth is either mama or daddy. Isn't that sweet to hear those words? I mean, to me, that's just, it blows you away. Of course, as a grandparent, to hear papa is even more remarkable, or Nana, or whatever you are called. But it's just something to watch children as they grow and mature and develop. And there's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're born, is there? That's the way we all started out. But the problem happens if you remain a baby all your life, then we've got some severe issues, don't we? Well, the same thing is true about Christians. It's exciting to see a person come and accept Christ in their life, become a new believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, a brand new Christian. Every time a sinner repents of their sin, they invite Jesus into their life, then the Bible says that a birth has occurred. Matter of fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. It's absolutely a necessary thing. It's an essential thing for us to be born into God's family if we ever hope to have forgiveness of our sins and go into heaven one day when we we pass from this life. So you have to be born into the family of God. But birth, folks, is not the end of the Christian experience. It's the very beginning of the Christian experience. And I hope that if you've never been born into God's family, then you would be born today by receiving Him, by repenting of your sins and coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But folks, once that happens, we are intended as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to grow into maturity into the Lord. We're to grow in our knowledge and wisdom. Matter of fact, Peter in 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And then Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14 says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man," he's talking about a mature believer, full-grown mature believer, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children." So all of the biblical writers understood that we need to grow in our Christian faith. We need to grow in our life. God intends for baby Christians to mature and grow into full development as God's children. There's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're born. The problem comes if you remain a baby all your life. And that's the problem that we're studying in these verses of Scripture that we have before us this morning, is the problem of remaining as babes in the Lord Jesus Christ instead of growing up into full-grown, mature believers. In verses 11 through 14, the writer describes the condition of spiritual immaturity. And of course, you know that spiritual immaturity is not connected to the years that you've been a Christian. You know, it's not, if you've been a Christian a year or if you've been a Christian 20 years, it has nothing to do with that, because it's possible for a person to be a Christian only 1 or 2 years and yet grow rapidly and advance in their Christian life and in their service and achieve an amazing sense of spiritual maturity in that short period of time. Some people just do that. But then on the other hand, it's possible for a person to have been a Christian for many, many years and still be in kindergarten when it comes to their spiritual life, because they have not grown to the fullness of the stature of Christ. They just haven't grown the way they should. I think I've seen some believers that have been saved for 40 years and they're still in their diapers spiritually. Unfortunately, that's the case in many people's lives. They've never learned to crawl. They've never learned to walk. They've never learned to grow and mature in their Christian experience. Well, in verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." And what he's saying there is, I'd like to say more to you about Christ. I'd like to say more to you about his being our high priest and the function of that he serves as our high priest. I'd like to go a step further with you, but he says the problem is that you are dull of hearing. Now, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." So he touches on this matter of our development, and he shows us how we hinder our development as believers. And it begins with the problem of the dullness of hearing. Now, the word dull there means to be sluggish or to slow of hearing or sluggish of hearing. And that's something we don't normally think about in the matter of spiritual things. We often have a tendency to talk about not being sluggish in our hearing or slow in our hearing or dull in our hearing. The tendency is that we have a tendency to push it off on somebody else, and we say, well, there's a dullness of the teaching, there's a dullness of the preaching. And, you know, I'd like to be the first to admit that as a preacher, there are sometimes that there is dull preaching. I admit that. In fact, to be perfectly honest with you, I probably have done some dull preaching in my life, in my ministry over the years. I don't know about you, but I heard a story about a pastor out in the country, and It was in the summertime. It was hot, and it was an old country building, didn't have air conditioners, so they had all the windows raised up, you know, to get the breeze going through to keep people cool. And the preacher got up there, and he put his sermon notes out. About that time, a big gust of wind blew by and blew his sermon notes out the window. Well, they were next to a dairy farm. A couple of cows grabbed the notes and started chewing on them and eating them, and both cows went dry. I don't know if you remember the Andy Griffith program one time, but Opie started a paper for the community, and they would hear all this gossip, and they would write it into the paper. Well, Opie one day heard Andy and some of the guys talking about the preacher, and Andy says, "Oh, he's dry as dust, dry as dust." Only Andy Griffith could say that. And of course, you know, they found out that it was in the paper, and they tried hectically to go get round up all those papers before the pastor saw it. Well, one day the pastor comes up, and Andy's sitting on the front porch, and he sits down, and he started talking about it, you know, the paper. And he says, "You know, Andy," he says, "I heard what you said. You know, we're needing someone to teach a men's Sunday school class. And I think that you need to do that." And Andy said, Oh yes, Pastor, I'll do that." And he says, "You know," he said, "that was a pretty good article." He says, I got a teacher for a month of Sundays out of it." So, you know, it happens. But that's not the problem we're dealing with in this verse here. We're talking about the problem of the dullness of hearing. And what he's saying is a reason of the lack of spiritual maturity in some believers is that they're not hearing. They're dull of hearing. In other words, spiritual things are not interesting to them. It's not exciting to them. They don't want to hear them. He goes to Sunday school class and he says, "Oh, that teaching is dull as it can be. You know, it's I just can't handle that teaching." He comes to the service and he says, "Oh, that music is so dull. I just can't handle that music." Then he hears the preaching of the gospel and the preaching is dull to his ears. And folks, the problem might not be the dull teaching. It might not be that the singing is dull at all. It might not be that the preaching is dull. It might be that there's a spiritual dullness in your life that you're not listening to what you need to be listening to, and you're not taking it in the way God would have you to take it in. So there's a spiritual dullness in a person's life, and they're not growing, they're not maturing in the things of the Lord. And that's why the things of the Lord Jesus Christ are not just as exciting to you as they ought to be. But another indication of spiritual maturity is when a person who ought to be sharing the gospel with others needs someone to go back over the basics with them. Look what he says in verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God." That statement, "first principles," is the translation of a word that means basically the beginning lessons, the basic elements of any subject. For instance, in math, probably the first things that you learn in math is 1 plus 1 equals 1. 2 plus 2 equals 2. Now in modern math, 1 plus 1 equals 11. And 2 plus 2, I don't know about that. That's not correct. But that's what we learned when I grew up. We learned things by rote. You know, you'd memorize those things. You'd have flashcards, they'd pull them up, you know, 2 times 2 is what? And you'd say, 4. And they'd have the answer on the back, and you'd know that you had it right. They don't do that, it seems like, nowadays, or at least I don't see much of that going on, because when you go through McDonald's and you hand somebody some change, they can't figure out what to kind of, if don't blow someone's mind by going in there and it's like $1.08, and you give them $1.25. Because they won't know what to do unless it's on their little... I don't know if you notice on most receipts now, it shows them what the change is supposed to be. Folks, we need to pray for our school systems because we're failing our kids somewhere along the way. Or in language, it's the ABCs. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You sing the little song. They've even changed that song now because they said, "What is that elemental P?" I never seen the letter, the elemental P. So they've changed that song now to make that more L M N-O-P, so that they know that there's specific letters for that. Well, I understand that maybe a little bit, because I always would say L-M-N-O-P. You know, it was like it was one big word, but it's not. It's several different letters. So what he's talking about here is the beginning lessons of the gospel, the first truths of the Word of God. And now there's nothing wrong with the first truths of the gospel. They are the basic building blocks upon which you build your spiritual maturity. We need to understand the ABCs of the gospel. But he's saying that when you are spiritually immature, you have to be constantly taught the first principles again and again and again. You never get beyond those initial principles of the Word of God. So you see, if you're a spiritual baby, instead of teaching others, you have to be taught yourself. There comes a point in time when we ought to be able to teach somebody else what we have learned about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that every Christian is intended to be a Sunday school teacher. It doesn't mean that you've been called by God to be a preacher of the gospel. But I think what he's saying is, as you grow and mature in your life as a believer, you ought to begin to have the ability to share the basics of the gospel with some other person. You ought to be able to witness to someone and tell them why they need to get Christ in their life, why they need to be saved, is because they need to hear what the gospel says, and this is what God requires of you. As I understand the New Testament, every born-again child of God is given the commission from Jesus to be a witness for him and to strive to lead other people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may not be the greatest soul winner in the world, but I believe you can tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ. I really believe you can. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know how timid I am. Don't worry about how timid you are. There's somebody out there who can be won by a timid person just like you. They may not need someone who is forceful and really powerful and bold. They may need someone who's a little bit timid, and they'll listen to you more than they will that person who's trying to slam it home. They may be open to your witness and your testimony, so don't worry about the fact that you're timid. Folks, you can't be more timid than I am. I was. You talking about an introvert and very shy. I was the epitome of shy. You look shy up in the dictionary, they had my picture on it for years. Not anymore, because the Lord's kind of helped me through all that. But I believe there are some people that you can lead to the Lord that no one else could ever touch with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God will use your testimony, God will use your witness, if you'll just simply go and share with them the Word of God. But you see, when you're not growing as a Christian and you're not maturing as a believer, instead of teaching others the basics of the gospel, you have to be taught them over and over again yourself. So he's dealing here with this matter of development. But secondly, he's dealing with the matter of our diet. You say, well, wait a minute, where did food come in? Well, listen to the last part of verse 12. You have come to need milk and not of solid food. Notice the contrast. There's milk and there's solid food. Now, of course, we know milk is baby food initially, isn't it? Milk is baby food. And of course, the Bible teaches that we should have a desire for that milk of the Word of God. As a child in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a baby in Christ, we need the milk of the Word of God. That's what we grow by. That's what a newborn baby grows by. Milk, you don't sit that newborn baby you bring home from the hospital down and say, all right, here's a T-bone steak. Have at it. They won't eat it because they're not capable of eating that at that particular time in their life. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. So we need the milk of the Word. That word desire there in that verse is a strong word. It means to earnestly desire. We need to crave that. We need to have it in our life. And of course, that's one of the ways you can know that you're a born again child of God. If you're truly saved, there's going to be a natural desire for the milk of the Word of God. You're going to want to read and study the Word of God. You're going to want to hear the Word of God in your life. You want to know everything there is about the Bible. You'll want to be here for Sunday school. You want to be here for worship. That's the miracle of being saved. That's the natural desire, is that sincere desire for the milk of the Word of God. Let me ask you, what are you filling your life with? What are you filling your life with? See, the Bible is not only compared to milk, which points us to the simpler truths of the gospel, but it also talks about the Bible, the Word of God, as meat, as a solid food. Now look at the contrast in verses 13 and 14. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. What he's saying is baby Christians need the simpler truths of the Word of God. And again, thank God for those simpler truths. We all need them as we're growing and developing. But some of you are grown and you're still drinking milk. Now, even as an adult, we still drink milk, don't we? Anybody ever drink milk around the house? How many of you go to the refrigerator and open up a milk carton and drink out of it and put it back in there? Some of y'all, I did that once as a kid and I got smacked plumb across the room. I didn't do it again. See, even as adults, we like to drink milk. It's not that we discard the milk, but that we need more things beside the milk, okay? That's what he's saying about the Word of God. It's not that you're kicking out the primary elements of the gospel, because we still need those. We understand those and we know that we need those. But then we need to go beyond those into the things that are deeper. We need to move beyond the baby stage of our life into a little bit more mature believers. And we need to change our diet. Instead of focusing on the milk of the Word of God, we need the meat of the Word of God. We need to focus on the solid food of the Word of God. How do you know when you're getting into the solid food or the meat of the Word? Well, look at verse 14. He says, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you're maturing in your Christian life, and you're developing in your understanding of the Word of God, when you get to the point that you're able to apply the principles of the Bible to your daily life and are able to use those principles of the Bible to help you judge or help you to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong in your daily life, then that is when you're getting into the solid food of the Word of God. The Bible is not just merely to be believed. It's to be obeyed and it's to be practiced. That's why the Word of God says, be doers of the Word, not just hearers only. We're to put the Word of God into action in our life every single day. God gave us the Word of God to help us make correct decisions in our daily life. But if we're not applying God's Word to our daily lives, let me tell you something. That's why we're making all the wrong decisions in our life. Is we're not applying God's Word to the decisions that we're making, and we're getting ourselves into messes because we've not applied the Word of God before we've acted, before we've made those decisions. Now, I know that the Bible doesn't always give us specific commands. There's nowhere in the Word of God that you'll find, thou shalt not drink a Budweiser. It's not there. But there are some principles in the Word of God that we need to hear. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise. The Bible says that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that I'm to glorify God in my body. And the Bible says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, you put those principles to work on the matter of whether or not you need to be drinking or not, and I believe you'll make the right decision. You need to apply the principles. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says, thou shalt not play the lottery. Nowhere does it say that. But there are some principles in the Word of God that says, I'm not to let anything have dominion over me or rule my life. And some people are addicted to the lottery. Every day or every few days, they've got to go and buy one of those tickets thinking that they're going to get rich. Folks, let me tell you something. There's a greater chance of you getting struck by lightning out here than winning the lottery. And what you're doing is you're throwing your money away. Now, if you got money to burn, just throw it my way. I'll use it. Amen? So instead of buying that lottery ticket, oh, I'll just give that $10 to Brother Jay. He can use it. Well, there are principles in the Bible that says that I'm to work for what I get. I'm not to hope that I'm going to win a jackpot somewhere and get rich. Because do you know that most people who win jackpots and get to be millionaires lose most of their money before a few years because they don't know how to handle it? They don't know how to handle that much money. And they either get cheated out of it by somebody, or they give it away, or they misuse it or mishandle it, and before long they're back to where they were and they don't have that money. Folks, listen. If you buy a lottery ticket, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to gripe on you. I'm just saying you better be careful because, listen, you're throwing your money away, and the chances that you win are so minuscule. I remember my aunt up in Michigan. She always buys lottery tickets. We were up there visiting one time, and my mother and my aunt and my wife went out shopping. They came back home, and it was, I forget what time of the night was, but my Aunt Janelle said, oh, turn on the television because they're fixing the draw for the lottery. We need to see if we won. I went, what? And my mother says, I got my ticket. Patty, do you have your ticket? And I looked at Patty. I said, what? And she says, I didn't buy it. Your mother bought it. Well, you know what? None of them won. It wasn't long after that, my aunt won $1,000. And she was so excited. Oh, I've won $1,000. How much money have you put into that? I don't think you made a good return on the investment. Matter of fact, you've got beat. Well, I didn't mean to preach a sermon on the lottery, but what I'm trying to say is you need to apply the Word of God to those decisions so that you don't make the wrong decisions, because the Word of God is there to help us make those decisions. It's not always in black and white that you need to do this or you don't need to do that, but if you look at the principles of the Word of God, you understand that those things shouldn't be in part of my life. I shouldn't be doing those things in my life. See, the problem is that some are still on the milk of the Word of God when what they need to do is get into the meat of the Word of God. You can't make decisions if you're just on the milk of the Word of God. The milk of the Word of God helps you come to know Christ, helps you learn more about Him, but you need to get into the meat of the Word of God to help learn the principles for your daily life. There's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're born. The problem comes when you remain a baby all your life. So he describes the condition there. But then secondly, he prescribes the solution. And we're going to look very quickly in chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, at this solution. And basically there's two things here. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation. He's not saying that we abandon the elementary principles of the Word of God, but he's saying that we need to move beyond them to higher truths. Now, there are some foundational truths that he mentions, and those foundational truths have their roots all the way back to the Old Testament. And these six things that are mentioned in the first two verses here have confused some people who've read them, because when you read them, you find a mixing of New Testament truths and Old Testament truths, and they had that special application to the first readers of the book of Hebrews because they were closer to the Old Testament system than we are today. But what he's basically teaching is that these foundational truths have their spiritual roots all the way back into the Old Testament concept. So what you really have here in these six things are three groups. For instance, repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, they go together. That's the initial truth, repentance and faith. He uses Old Testament terminology talking about the works of that the Old Testament believers would do to try to keep the law. Faith toward God, of course, is that New Testament statement, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's repentance, but it's also faith. That's the basics of how you're saved. Repentance, you have repentance toward God, Christ, I mean, a very deep sorrow for the sin that you committed, and you place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who's provided you a way of forgiveness for your sins. I think they're just like two sides of a same coin. Repentance and faith are like heads and tails of a coin. Nobody can put faith in Christ who hasn't repented. You have to repent to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The word repent means an about face, a turning around. You turn from your sin and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the initial truths of the gospel. The next two are kind of symbolic truths, the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands. The word baptism is a better understanding of that word would be, if you're looking back at the Old Testament, is the word washings. In the Old Testament, there were ceremonial washings that were done. We don't do those today. But you see, they had New Testament application. In Titus 3, chapter 3, verse 5, Paul said, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." See, you don't have to go through all these washing ceremonies of the Old Testament. You've been born by the Holy Spirit of God. You've had the washing of regeneration in your life. And praise God, when you get saved, you get a spiritual bath. You get washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're covered by His precious blood, and His blood makes you totally clean as in regard to your sin. Now, laying on of hands, the Old Testament priests would lay their hands on the animal that was about to be sacrificed, and then they would take that animal to offer it on the altar. Well, you and I, by faith, have laid our hands on the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, and the Lamb of God was slain for our sins. So these are symbolic truths. And then, of course, there's eternal truths. He says the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, the Old Testament teaches us that there's going to be a resurrection. The New Testament expands on this and tells us that not only is there going to be a resurrection of the dead, but there's also going to be the resurrection of a believer, and there's going to be the resurrection of the unbeliever, and then after that, there's going to be eternal judgment upon each one. The Old Testament teaches us that we are under the curse, that we are under eternal judgment of God, but the Old Testament truth is fully explained when we come to the New Testament, and we discover that in Christ, there is no judgment to those who are in Christ. We are completely forgiven, and those things are not on us anymore because Jesus bore our judgment on the cross of Calvary. But now he says, if you really want to get in to the Christian life and move beyond the principles of that, he said, let us go on to perfection. Let us go on to maturity. Let us grow the way we need to grow. And the tense of that verb there is a passive tense. And what he's saying is, if you will allow him to, the Lord will help you grow beyond the baby stage of your Christian life to full age, to a full maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to be a mature Christian, don't you? I hope that's the wish and the desire of every one of us. Because remember, there's nothing wrong with being a baby when you're born. The problem comes if you remain a baby all your life. And you may be here today, and you may have been saved for 20 years, but you've never, ever really have grown in your Christian life. And listen, the Holy Spirit of God is trying to teach you, but you need to listen. And you need to fill your diet with the good food of the Word of God, folks. This is food for us. We like food to eat every day. If you don't eat food, you get hungry, don't you? Well, spiritually, if we don't partake of this food here, we get spiritually hungry. And we need this in our lives to grow spiritually. If we're not taking the Word of God into our life as a spiritual person, then we're not growing. Because this is where we get our sustenance. This is where we get our food for our spiritual bodies. And folks, let me tell you, if you're here today, you're not growing as a believer, God is wanting you to. He wants every one of us to move beyond the basics and go to the meat of the Word of God and get grown up so that we can share what we know with other people, because that's what we've been called to do. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never experienced that repentance and faith, repenting of your sin and giving your believing by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to encourage you to do that this morning by just coming up and saying, Lord, I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need you in my life. Would you please forgive me and come into my life and let me be a believer. Let me be a child of yours. And when that happens, you will have been born again and you will be a babe in Christ. But you're not to stay a babe in Christ. You're to grow. You're to mature. You're to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. Are you more like Christ today than you were yesterday? If you're not, then you're not growing the way you should. I pray that you are growing in your Christian life. I pray that if you're not a believer, that you'll come and give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus this morning. Maybe you're here and God is leading you to a place that you can come and be a part of a fellowship and worship Him and grow, learn more about Him through the teaching of the Word of God. We would love for you to come and make this place your home if that's what God is calling you to do.